Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'll be with you for about 55, 58 minutes. I have a show today. Now, I know some of you may not fully appreciate, understand, or like, but I feel it's very important. And I have some wonderful, very knowledgeable guests that are going. We're going to talk about traumatic brain trauma, and all that means. It's not just a. Over the weekend, I spoke with some people that said, "Oh, that's just a diagnosis." No, that's a reality. If you have it, it's a reality. And I'm going to have these wonderful people introduce themselves, and I'm going to start now. In full disclosure, the young fellow with the glasses, notice I said young with glasses, his name is Mark McNeese. Just to let everybody know, he is my second cousin. So just be aware of that. The other people are just wonderful. Kate and Rob, they're going to introduce themselves, tell you where they are, what they work. Mark, would you start off, please?
Yeah, sure, certainly. My name's Mark McNeese. I work at ALC, Alternative Living Centers in Pittsfield, as a certified brain injury specialist, where we've started screening everyone that comes into the program for brain injury through the NASHA OBIS online brain injury screening support system. It's relatively new. It's very exciting. It really helps with putting together full treatment planning for people in the substance abuse community, mental health, high-risk populations. You know, it just adds a more complete picture for proper treatment and diagnosis. It's very exciting. MRC has kind of flipped the bill for all of Massachusetts so that institutions and programs can get on board with the online screening. Yeah, so I work at ALC as a neuro educator and group facilitator, as well as brain injury screening. I work also at McGee Detox, doing groups on weekends, as well as being on the Massachusetts Brain Injury Council, the North Carolina Traumatic Brain Injury Council Justice Initiative, and the Massachusetts Brain Injury Association of Massachusetts Conference Committee Council. But yeah, and I'm a survivor of brain injury and a person in long-term recovery. I'm very grateful to be here today and very grateful to be able to share my experience and help others with what I've been through.
Yeah, and we're going to get into it. Mark, when he said he is a survivor, believe me when I tell you, was a long and dusty road to get to where he is today. There. Kate, would you, chivalry is not dead, it's just old, fat, and bald. me. Would you introduce yourself and tell us what?
Absolutely. My name is Kate Frizzell. I am the clinical director of the Alternative Living Center in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, also in North Adams, Massachusetts. So I started actually as an intern back in 2020, 2021. What the Alternative Living Center does is treat people in early recovery. We are an addiction treatment facility. The residential, the structured housing component has been around for quite some time, well over a decade, and that has grown and evolved into what it is today, which is kind of two separate programs that run under the Alternative Living Center umbrella. So we have our structured housing component right now for men only, which houses 57 or some odd in Pittsfield and about 95 individuals up in North Adams. In addition to the psychoeducational clinical services, we run a full day program now, which was licensed and up and running when I came in as an intern, started 2019. You all built it. Rob was there from the ground up. I came in shortly after that. I also am a person in long-term recovery. So this started as my second act and has now become, you know, basically my life. So we run an IOP program, which stands for intensive outpatient program, which runs 3.5 hours a day, Monday through Friday. Both campuses, we have a morning session and an afternoon that is open to the general public. So men and women, ages 18 and above, anyone who identifies with a substance use issue or has a substance use diagnosis of any type is welcome to come and get services in our facility. And what we're finding, and what Paul, our owner, Paul Sopranowicz, what his vision was to have as many services as possible under, you know, under one roof. What we have found is within our special populations, it has grown to where we have, obviously, and it's a given, many co-occurring diagnoses of mental health. And now that we have taken advantage of this resource that became available through the OBIS online brain injury screening, that it is much more common than people might think, or than was originally thought when substance use disorder became, when services and treatment became more readily available, as the stigma starts to decrease and the need for services is recognized, that people with substance use disorder and with a history of active addiction tend to also have a traumatic brain injury or an acquired brain injury of some sort that greatly affects the services that they need access to for effective treatment and what's going to give them the best shot at a positive outcome. And here we are.
Here we are.
And, the good-looking guy sitting next to you. Rob, you got to sit a little closer, because if you're not seeing it, but I'm seeing it, you're kind of fading. And Kate, same thing. You got to get close, because...
Okay, there we are.
Yeah, you're fading in and out.
Okay, that's typical for me.
They got a whole staff of engineers just so I can turn the thing on.
I can unblur the background too.
Okay,
that
we're good.
Stop happening.
Oh, okay. That'd be great.
All right, there we go. So I'm Rob Kirkman. I'm a grateful recovering person. I've been a drug and alcohol counselor for 35 years at this point. Back in 2004, I became more and more interested in the brain. And eventually became a brain health coach, and had been doing, I've known Mark for many years. Like you say, I know him as a survivor in many respects. And I also knew him in a previous life, I think going all the way back to the 90s, right? In any case, I started doing brain health screenings back when I was working at Berkshire Medical Center, and noticed a pattern in terms of brain functioning among alcoholics and addicts that we were treating. And I pursued that. And I'm particularly interested in how the brain health screenings sync with what Mark's doing in terms of screenings, the brain injury screenings. There's a real similar pattern, a correlation between what we're doing, which is very interesting. And I'm an anger management specialist, and became even more interested in brain injury and the effects of brain injury in terms of emotional dysregulation that we typically had simply attributed to some stage of post-acute withdrawal. But now we can see pretty clearly that there are particular areas in the brain that, when damaged, manifest in different ways, but certainly in terms of agitation, irritation, and anger, which is really common in recovery for our folks. And I appreciate very much what you said earlier when you first introduced this, that it's not about a diagnosis. It's about what people live with and cope with and survive with for their lives. Yeah. And the debate about whether or not it's a diagnosis for me is a moot point. We're working with what people are experiencing.
I ran the, I've been in the criminal justice system. A lot of people thought I should have been in the criminal justice world. behind the bars. But for over 50 years, and everything that you're doing now is new to the criminal justice system because they never look beyond the person. And when I ran the youthful offender program, I told the staff, and I be honest, I had to replace staff because they wouldn't, they didn't see the bigger picture. We have to meet them where they are and help them get to where they should be or need to be. I did this in the early 90s when Professor DeJulio, remember the predator generation, and then they started changing all the laws. If you committed a serious crime, even though you were a juvenile, they adjudicated you adult and sent you to the penitentiary. Oh. Well, I was with the a program that was developed by the Department of Justice to treat those kiddos, and was made up of adults and juvenile people in the system. But no one could have had the foresight to see how juveniles act in a penitentiary. That, and what was missed, and you guys are experts, what was missed was, I think a significant number of them had traumatic brain injury from abuse, neglect, maybe even nutrition when they were babies. Mm-hmm. And I've written a couple of books. I'm writing a third book, and I've really have expanded the childhood trauma, which I'm sure you guys can understand, and to the traumatic brain injury and PTSD. They're like all in one. And the other piece that I was reading, Mark sent me so much stuff. I've been up reading at night, and I don't stay up past 8 o'clock. You know that, Rob. Us guys, we got to get our rest. Consequences. That was a huge structure and consequences in the youthful offender program. The pushback was unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, because the program was structured. You have to get up at a certain time. Why? But now all the stuff I read, Mark sent me, honestly, Mark, I didn't read it all. but what you're doing, we have to get codified across the globe, across the, mm-hmm. in this country at least, before we sentence anybody or do any, we have to. One of the things I insisted upon, and I was not well liked for it for a long time, but I wanted a baseline on every kid. Mm-hmm. We had physical, dental, we had the works. We didn't have anything to do with what you did or doing. So I want to see that codified in statute, and I'll do anything I can to help that, help you all have, make that happen, if you agree.
Absolutely.
An added expense, and they don't understand. You all remember Sheriff Carmen Massimiano. He had a wonderful saying, pay me now, pay me later. So I admire what you're doing so much. And I don't want you to take this as a threat. You will be on more than just today.
Thanks. Well, that's an opportunity, not a threat. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to advance the work right here and expand upon what the Mark and the Alternative Living Center is doing. So appreciate it very much. I just have to make one comment that I identify very strongly with you. Back in a previous life, Mark and I both worked at a program for court-referred youth. I was the director of the outpatient program there, and Mark worked there. And I didn't have the information now.
Me too.
That would have helped me understand so much more about what they had been going through.
Yes.
We were running pretty much a behavior modification program, you know, which has very limited in terms of addressing the core issues. So,
But it was something. It wasn't just send them down to, Westfield or lock them up here. When I first started, I was a police officer and a sergeant in Lanesboro, and the chief assigned me to the juvenile because we were having all these juvenile crimes. And, well, we worked with the schools and everything, but a lot of it was what I'm sure we were all finding out through this life. Their life wasn't like ours, I guess, to say.
Right. What's also good to know, like, especially in identifying a brain injury history with youths, now that we're talking about youths, is there's a lot of pushback sometimes because either people don't want to know or they think they're going to heal, get past it, or they didn't complain enough about it. But a fact of brain injury is, personal history with me, I was run over when I was 12 years old, and that started the history. And we know now, after your first, you're three times more likely to get your second. After your second, you're eight times more likely to get a third. And multiple traumatic brain injuries are where a lot of problems happen in the mild traumatic brain injury area. And with young children is, you got to think their lives are structured in a lot of ways. They have decisions made for them. Their cognitive abilities aren't at full scale. Like, they don't have to use their cognition all the time. They have decisions being made for them, structure being in place for them. So a lot of people who've had a lot of traumatic brain injury in their history as youth in their childhood, they seem to spiral as they get older. When more cognition is being used, more responsibility is on them, they have to make more decisions, they have to live by themselves, they have to do everything. And that's where they see the cognitive challenges and behavioral and emotional challenges from brain injuries in their past and in their youth start to show their faces as they're older, and they weren't diagnosed or wasn't observed and made aware of when they were younger, passed up. So now in adulthood, they're looking at these problems they're having, these challenges, and saying, what is going on with me? Yeah. They're getting diagnosed with different kinds of mental health diagnoses that just are missing the point. It's just not the whole picture. Could it be exasperating? Like, the mental health is a symptom oftentimes of brain injury, of brain fatigue or sensory overload that comes from brain injury. So it really needs to be looked at and identified just for the simple awareness factor.
And to help, I think Rob just said it too, help people with their issues. There are better ways than going off anger management. I mean, I worked in law enforcement and corrections for years, and you want to see anger management? Go ahead, Rob.
I want to piggyback off of what Mark had mentioned a minute ago. 90% of the people who find their way into programs like ours, 90% of the people over the age of 18 have had adverse childhood experiences.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, I constantly get surprised, although not really. Yeah. But last week, I did an informal assessment of people participating up here and then also down in Pittsfield. And when I put that up there, and I just described a few of the common adverse childhood experiences. You probably are familiar with that assessment tool.
Yeah.
Everyone in the group, in both programs here and down in Pittsfield, nodded their head and agreed that that was a significant part of their history as they were growing up. And trauma, and in the form of abuse, abandonment, neglect, physical trauma. And also what we're seeing here a lot is brain damage caused by anoxia and hypoxia. And certainly thank God that we're able to save lives with Narcan, but if they're not receiving Narcan fast enough, and then they're going to be anoxic. And they identify a very amazing number of our folks, most of whom in informal assessment in the groups have had at least one overdose, if not multiple overdoses, where they lost consciousness.
And if I may, too, sorry, you know, what is so amazing about that and getting to see it from the clinician's perspective, you know, I do still hold the caseload. And, you know, so the specialized services that Rob and Mark are providing, and to be able to be in session with these individuals when they kind of put it together, when the light bulb goes off, you know what I mean? You know, Mark referenced a population of individuals who have, you know, TBIs and have experienced brain injury in childhood, and that gets overlooked, and yes, you know, people walk around undiagnosed. And on the other side, we also have the opportunity now for, you know, people in adulthood who, you know, it starts to kind of come together and the puzzle pieces start to fall into place when they realize that their ACE scores, that their childhood traumas had a lot to do with this, but also to receive the education, which is so powerful, that something as simple, for lack of a better term, of an overdose, you know, things that people coming into recovery just chalk up to a consequence of the lifestyle, you know, leads to a brain injury with residual effects. You know, they don't think much of it because it's of all the trauma that we put ourselves through in active addiction, you know, getting Narcan one or two times is no big deal, you know, for it's part of the life for a lot of these individuals. Yeah. So for someone who has an experience, they hear brain injury, they think, you know, combat or car accidents or sports injuries and things of that nature. So to be told, you know, for the information to be presented to them that there is actually, you have a medical condition, and this is not, you're not going through the revolving door because you don't want to get better. There's something that you have experienced, something that has residual effects that hasn't been treated, and now it gets to be. And that's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing.
That is, yeah. I mean, what you're doing, Mark and I, we sat and chatted, and you know, what you're all doing, and as I think you're going to, and why I've decided to get really active, I'm 77, so active means I at 6 o'clock I shut down, you know.
Right behind you.
Yeah. Put my jammers on. I'm ready for bed at 8. But I want to really make people aware of this. And let's codify actions that have to be taken. I know I repeat myself when I probably forgot I said it and I just remembered. But it just can't be floating out there. And that, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think there's people like yourselves, you're so dedicated to it, and you're so, Rob, you've been in it 30 plus years, but there's people who are walking around, and I don't mean people who don't care. They would care if they knew.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's about awareness. It really is. You know, thank you for saying that. And if I could just say anecdotally, a lot of times in groups, particularly in the support groups that Mark and I conduct in the evenings here, when it first dawns on their awareness, my God, that happened to me. That happened to me. Yeah. I'm experiencing this. The first response is a sense of helplessness and powerlessness.
Exactly.
But what's really encouraging is that the awareness of it, the shock of awareness of it, goes a long way toward recovery. And so that, to me, is where the hope is, raising awareness, not just for the public, but for the people who are have been suffering and struggling with this and victimized by their own brain injuries. The awareness goes a long way, because then they can say to themselves, and this is really common in the sessions that I have with me, that they move from, oh, this happened to me, to, that's interesting, that's what I'm experiencing.
Yes.
And that's empowering for them, because then it's like, oh, there is some hope here, when they can just back off of that victim identity or being overwhelmed by all of this stuff that happened to them. The raising the awareness helps them just to kind of view it and more objectively, I guess, is the word. Yeah.
And like with Mark and all of you, you've been through it. You didn't have, it wasn't, one of the things that we stressed with the Youthful Offender Program, what you're going to do here, you're going to find difficult because most of them never had any guidance, never had any boundaries, never had any guardrails. Most, if you looked at their files, most of them were there for committing crimes in the late night from like 11 to 3, you know. And what, you remember that commercial when I was a kid that used to come on TV, 9 o'clock, do you know where your kids are? You know, my father always said, yeah, he's sitting right there, change the channel, you know, because they didn't have remote control. I was my father's remote control. Turn that to channel 12. Okay. But what do you think when you deal, what I found with us, they were angry when they first came in. I don't know whether they were angry they got caught or they were angry that they got sentenced. This is just me, and I'm throwing it out for your expertise. I think they were angry at themselves. Now, I don't know if that kind of goes with what you guys experience, but you made a thing. Some of them did think they were victims. They would say that, you know, my old man or my mother didn't care. No, you know, this. But looking at, as I was leaving the program, just quickly, and Mark, I'll get right to you. The big push was traumatic brain injury on troops returning from the wars, Afghanistan and Iraq. And I started reading about it because I'm a Vietnam veteran. So I started reading about it, and I started to think, wait a minute. Some of these characteristics that these troops are, you know, showing folks are the same characteristics these kids have. So I started going back through files, and I spoke with every kid, and I kept notes, and some of them had awful lives, thrown downstairs, and, you know. So I think many of them had traumatic brain injury. That's how Mark and I got together.
Yeah. Yeah, I you know, with what you were saying, so this is what this is kind of exciting to offering as far as they come in angry. I came in, I've been on both sides. I've been a CO. I went through a police academy. I did the youth offenders when I was young. But then I also had my whole history of when I struggled with brain injury and addiction because I was masking all those symptoms with alcohol because it worked. I was going undiagnosed for 27 years. So I did what worked to keep me surviving and without better information. I was going with what there was the wrong habits, wrong things. But what's great about what we're doing or what brain injury screening and all these high risk populations is we do a psychoeducational piece on brain function, on what's happening in the brain, the neurotransmitters. They start to understand the medications they're on, what they do for them. The brain injury screening brings an awareness to a physiological degree, which now turns into something that's tangible, understandable. They learn things. We learn things as in recovery. You learn and then you build off it because you see these things in actuality, in practical terms, in your daily lives. Like you see these manifest. Brain injury, the most ideal recovery is place and train. Put the people in the world, teach them about what's going on with the brain injury so they see, like I have sensory overload. So fluorescent lights, grocery stores, restaurants, driving, all these things take a horrible toll on my cognition, my fatigue, my brain fatigue. Prior to knowing that, I used to go to different substances or different bad habits to keep my brain function working. Now, these guys come in, they learn what's going on, they point to it, they see it, they can learn a tangible way and ways to manipulate. They get excited about having the knowledge to themselves. And they work on it themselves. It's intuitively, it feels good to them, and it's right. And it gets rid of a lot of the shame, a lot of the guilt, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it's understandable that a lot of people have masked these symptoms with things that work. Like, it wasn't so much the brain injury that really destroyed, you know, set me off in my life. What it was a kind of psychological dismantling of not knowing I had brain injury. Now I can't go into a restaurant because I don't know why I'm getting dizzy or I can't hear people talk or I can't go coach my kids' game. So it's a lot to, you go in angry because you have a lot of things you don't understand and you can't point to. And what's very enthusiastic, or what creates enthusiasm, is now they're seeing and they're putting two and two together and saying, yeah, that happens to me. And oh, this is exciting.
We're going to have to take a break. Please, for the listeners and viewers, stay tuned. There's so much more we have to cover. I sit here and my head is swimming with people's visions of my past life that I've worked with in the system, that it just jumps out at you now. Yeah, they did bad things, you know, for the people who really get mad at me. People do bad things. Now we're starting to find out perhaps why they do bad things.
And that's right.
I did a show. I was accused of being a woke. Me, woke. right. My wife thinks I'm right as Stalin. We're going to take a break. Please stay tuned. There's so much more to learn. And if you want to, if you're thinking, you're watching, you're thinking, maybe I got that. I'm drinking too much, or I'm this, or I'm that. They're going to give you some contact numbers. Believe me when I tell you, the longest journey starts with the first step. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We will be back in 1 minute to continue this amazing, fascinating, and informative conversation.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
What's going on here?
Combining the miracle of modern technology with the secrets of ordinary street junkies. Producing this.
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union. Proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
El condado de los Berkshires se dirige hacia un mañana más brillante y ese futuro comienza contigo. Los Berkshires están al borde de caer en una gran crisis de salud mental debido a la falta de acceso, dejando algunos pacientes, especialmente niños, esperando meses para recibir la atención adecuada. Tú puedes ayudar abogando por ti mismo y por otros para encontrar carreras en la salud mental. Sé un héroe de la salud mental para los Berkshires. Para obtener más información, visita briancenter.org o namibc.org.
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
This is, we're back. Today's show, for those people that are, it's a morning show. There's people in and people out. And the show is an informative, educational. Some of you may not fully understand it, but it's very important that you stay tuned. And here's why. Today we're talking about traumatic brain injury and all the ancillary things that are associated with traumatic brain injury. And Mark, the guy with the, oh, you got gray hair, huh?
Yeah.
No, at least Rob, and I got
massive.
Anyhow, Mark McNeese, Kate, and Rob, just 30 seconds each. Your background for people just turning in. How... You're survivors.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Mark McNeese, brain injury survivor, over 15 documented brain injuries. I'm a person in long-term recovery. Today, I am a certified brain injury specialist. I work with Alternative Living Centers, ALC, doing traumatic brain injury screening on the OBIS system, and doing psychoeducational classes and some counseling. I work at McGee as well, and cool. Detox on weekends.
Thank you. Kate.
Kate Frizzell. I am the clinical director at the Alternative Living Center Addiction Treatment Program in both Pittsfield and North Adams, Massachusetts. My education, I am a person in long-term recovery. My background includes a master's in education with a discipline in special education. That was the first half of my life before active addiction and the consequences thereafter. So I now hold a master's level, both a CADEC and a LADEC, so that's both certified and licensed alcohol and drug counselor, in addition with my education background. And this is kind of where I am, just on the front lines with people who are also survivors of substance use disorder and the life that comes with it, and just trying to be any part of getting as many services under this roof, as was our owner's, Paul Sopranowitz, as was his vision. So here we are. Rob?
Yep, I'm Rob. Rob Kirkman, a grateful person in recovery. I've been an addiction, certified addiction counselor for 35 years. I've been a brain health coach for 21 years.
Wow.
And more recently, a neuropsych screener, currently in a neuropsych program myself. I work with Mark here at the ALC. I'm a clinician here, and we run psychoeducational groups for addicts who have experienced traumatic brain injury and other forms of trauma. We run the psychoeducational groups and also support groups in counseling for all concerned.
And for the folks tuning in, it's been, to me, I'm overwhelmed with the, basically with the knowledge these folks are sharing with us, percentages of that are, this isn't an anomaly. Traumatic brain injury. I want everybody to understand that, and all the associated, probably not the right word. You guys will have a better word, but demons that come with it. You know, alcohol, drug addiction, all these things, and one of the things that I really get a kick out of. Only because I saw it, Rob brought it up in the first hour, half hour, was anger management. When the youthful offender program, that was the, if I had to pick one thing that they just excelled at, was anger management. I mean, really, they could go from 0 to 3,000 in a nanosecond. And thinking back again, Rob, what do you think of that?
Well, I'm an anger management specialist also. And most of our clients here have also experienced, well, obviously surviving in unsafe environments, which included incarceration.
Yeah.
And learn survival skills that a lot of times manifested in anger as a defense against unsafe environments and surviving in unsafe environments. That becomes habitual over time. Those survival skills we learn even as young kids in unsafe environments persist up through childhood and adolescent and adult development. So that we learn not to talk, not to trust, and not to feel our feelings. And hypervigilant, always on the defensive, and basically have a very high set point for stress, which stress as it manifests in their lives is constantly preparing them to act in a way to survive. And along with that comes emotional dysregulation, and a lot of trouble in their lives as a result of acting out in anger, which we tend to judge morally. Of course, there are consequences to unmanaged anger, but it's very difficult for them to break that neural habit of their anger responses because they learned them in unsafe environments. Here we have clients who are transitioning out to what ostensibly is a safer environment, and yet they're carrying with them the habits and skills they learned to survive in unsafe environments. And so it's a matter of retraining a lot of times and awareness about that. Anyway, I could go on about that.
No, man, because everything you just said, I've experienced in real life. Everything you just said. And I used to tell my staff, this hardcore, they're like M&Ms. This is hard, but inside they're squishy. You know what? I don't know what's made them, a lot of them that way. Abuse, I'm sure, neglect. I had a kid go on for 20 minutes about how his mother would talk to him. Mm-hmm. Like he was a piece of, his words, not mine, mm-hmm. a piece mm-hmm. of dirt. And that, you know, I can't even understand that because my parents were terrific. But everything you just said, Rob, people are jumping into my head, past instances. Here's a question, Kate. When you counsel people, now you said you're doing mostly male, or do you have any females?
No, we have, it's just our structured housing. We only have male beds at the time.
Okay.
37 Pittsfield, 57 North Adams. The clinical services are open to everybody. So we get quite a few women coming from home doing the day program. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good. Yeah. I didn't mean good.
We have services for women as well. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Because some time ago, I read a statistic about teenage girls today. And I can tell you from locally, people I know about girls cutting themselves and things like that and getting into drugs and booze, you know?
Yes.
Before I forget, because you know by now you do know I don't have a full deck, but give us some telephone numbers, some contact info, and we'll do this a couple more times because people are driving or people are putting kids on a bus or something. So we'll start, Mark, with yours and go from there.
Well, I don't actually. You want my personal contact number? Is that what you?
No. But how the things you.
So, I don't have the numbers with me right now. I should, but in order if the support's out there, a big support right now is the Brain Injury Association of Massachusetts, which we have an office on Elm Street.
You can
look up, visit them at any time. They have neuro facilitators that can help people with brain injury get the resources they need. MRC is a big one that's helping. Brain Injury Association acts as an advocate, education, and they also. provide resources to anyone who needs it with brain injury. So support groups they do online. MRC is big with support. SHIP, that's the statewide head injury program. They can be contacted, but start with your brain injury association.
Okay.
What I would my suggestion.
Kate, Rob?
Yes. So for anybody interested in any of the services through ALC, the best way to get started is to go to our website, which is alccorp.org. That's alccorp.org. Our admissions application is right on that website, and that is for both individuals who are looking for a bed in residential services, as well as anybody who is trying to get into the day program or have access to any of these services. So the application process is the same for any individual, regardless of how they're trying to access our services, and they can fill out the application right there. For any one of the things we do pride ourselves in is more often than not, if you call ALC, a human being answers the phone. So the main number for the facility is 413-499-6300, and that will take you to some options for different departments. My direct line is 413-626-2445, and that is everybody and their brother has that number, so it's on my business cards. So anybody who has any other questions they would like, you know, to discuss further before getting started, feel free to call me there. So that's alccorp.org and my direct line, 413-626-2445.
And my email address here at the ALC is rob@alccorp.org. For anybody who has questions about that Mark or I might be able to respond to regarding traumatic brain injury, anger management, and its effects, please, any questions, we'd be glad. Between Mark and I, we'd be glad to respond. I'm going to go out on a limb and also offer my private email, which is all small letters, rkirkman@proton.com. For people who might be more comfortable, just who want a personal chat about what they're experiencing or a family member is experiencing, but isn't necessarily interested in or appropriate for services here at the Alternative Living Center. So,
and one of the things too, that what's your average, and this is an unfair question, but is it the younger, who are age wise, who are you guys seeing? You know, especially with brain injury stuff and addiction. Yeah.
So our substance use treatment clients, the ALC clients, range anywhere from 18 to 65 years old. The highest percentage that we have, it's cyclical. Right now, we're in like the late 20s to mid 30s range. Typically, we have our largest percentage is somewhere in like the 30s. But it, for whatever reason, I haven't seen a predictor, but it is cyclical where sometimes we just have a great deal of early 20s type of clients. Right now, our average is about that 35 to 40 range is our highest population.
Wow. And you know, do you think... how about brain injury? Working the brain injury, what are you seeing for ages?
As far as, so in the program we're at, as far as brain injury, the numbers of, we've screened a significant amount so far in the 60s or 60, and the numbers are more than alarmingly high for a rich traumatic brain injury history. And it's not, you know, small traumatic. It's not a couple concussions, which there's no right. small traumatic brain injury, but these are significant, very significant hospitalization, loss of consciousness, like very significant brain injuries that have just been swept under from, and the numbers are extremely, extremely high. And that's what they're suggested in all high risk populations, especially looking at domestic violence, vets, homeless. The numbers are all, they're suggesting 2 out of every 3 as they come out with numbers now. So the numbers are astronomical, which makes sense, especially in how cognitive of a world we're in today. And to have any kind of cognitive deficiency challenges, emotional, behavioral, they're just, it's a very hard time of human history to have problems with cognition. And you see it, you know, in our population.
If I could, I'd like to piggyback, sorry, Bill, on what Mark just said. For most of the clients who get screened by Mark for brain injury, I also do, they voluntarily request or I offer to do a brain health inventory. And the correlation between the brain health inventory and the screenings that Mark does is incredibly high. That in, for the most part, the most common damages that you find is impulsivity and poor frontal lobe judgment, forethought and planning, memory issues, and that and also temporal lobe issues related to memory and emotional dysregulation, anger. Though the correlation is huge between the two the two screenings, and I, with Kate's permission, I'm sure she's sitting here, and I plan to also include the ACEs screening.
Yes.
Because they very quickly can identify with everything else once they identify with that in their history, along with what Mark does in terms of brain trauma, physical brain trauma.
Permission granted.
Thank you.
We're good.
Thanks, Kate. You gotta take care of us old guy.
Had to do that.
But I unfortunately starting to count down on time. I'm going to have you back. Now I have to ask you this, because everything you just said manifested itself in the Youthful Offender Program.
Sure.
Everything. Sure. Everything. And how do I say this without getting us all fired? My campfire made it, they don't pay me. I guess they could fire me. But do our social service agencies conduct the same testing that you guys do?
So this is where this OBIS is going, this national OBIS. Is the goal is to get this into as many services, institutions, especially in the high-risk populations, but schools, your psychiatric wards, your detoxes, like really get the full picture on treatments.
Juvenile forums. You get picked up in a juvenile, this should be part of your testing.
Right, absolutely. And that's the main goal really here is to start getting them, at least to bring out the awareness, because it's not, brain injury isn't a singular event. No. It's a lifetime process. You know, we've talked, my father passed of traumatic brain injury, multiple traumatic dementia at the age of 64, that had he had been gone through the screening when he was 30 years old, he would have changed different things in his lifestyle, different nutrition, different habits, you know, that would have probably gave him many more years at the back end. So, I mean, it's super important just to get the knowledge of the history. We're not, the OBIS is not a diagnostic tool, but it leads to diagnosis. You know, they can bring these packages with tip sheets and strategies and all their testing results to their primaries and maybe get a neuropsych exam, or medications are big. There's improper medications for brain injury. So, I mean, there's really a lot to be said to this screening and just the knowledge.
And I know from personal experience what Mark's saying about his father, because we ran together for many years. So I don't know what that says about me, but by now you probably already assessed I got work. I got work. But I just would say you're up in Adams or North Adams?
North Adams.
North Adams.
Well, I'm going to be tapping our state representative there to visit you. Representative Barrett. I know I've known Representative Barrett for years, and I want him, and he used to be a teacher. So I don't know if you knew that. I think he taught like Aristotle and Plato, and that's when he was teaching. That's how old he is. But I want him to start to get on board about starting to help us think about legislation. Because you know, I've been around the government for a long time. And if it isn't codified, it's well if we get a chance. So my thing is, let's get it codified that you get arrested as a juvenile. Here's the what you have to go through, even as an adult. I mean, Mark, Mark was in the field. I saw so many adult inmates. Now that I'm thinking back, they definitely had traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
You know, it goes from traumatic youth. It's almost like a cyclical thing. And that's just my opinion. Oh, by the way, I got to do this before we go. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and the person riding their bicycle backwards on a northbound lane on North Street. All I can tell you is, for me, thank you for all you're doing. You are living, breathing, real people examples of there is hope and there is a life after whatever. And I think the world of you, and I'm, don't take this as a threat. I'll be in touch. And you have not seen the last of me. And I hope at my age, I don't buy green bananas. So, I'm committed to this. Mark will tell you, we had this discussion twice now in the last couple of weeks. I am very committed. And we just sit down maybe one day and strategize a plan to make it a bigger piece. I say this to everybody. God bless. And I some people send me hate mail for that, but God bless. And today, my viewers, my listeners, why don't we be like these folks? Let's do something nice for somebody. Help lift somebody's load. Make somebody laugh. Because we're all in this together. All of us. Try to help each other. Do something for somebody today that benefits them. You'll feel better, and they will too. All I can say is I'll be in touch. Thank you so very much.
And, thank you for having us.
Thank you. You're going to get sick of it. Trust me. I'm always here for you too. Mark, you got all my contact. You got my email. Get a hold of me. I'm always here for anything you want me to do, except work.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet. God bless everybody, and we'll talk to you.
God bless
please,
you.
If you're having an issue, give them a call. One more time with the phone number, please. Katie.
413-499-6300 for the main number, and for the admissions process application, alccorp.org.
Today could be the first step to the rest of your life. Don't let it pass. Bye, guys. Thanks a million. I'll keep on.